AirVenture Opening Day produces big EAA news. Pipersport gathers distributors. And the recession at least opens up some parking lots. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 27th, 2010. Given the recession and all the rain, I was kind of expecting an EAA AirVenture that offered mostly incremental product updates. But at noon on opening day yesterday, EAA Chairman and President Tom Poberesny dropped some big EAA news on us by naming his successor in the role of president. Rod Hightower is a name I hadn't heard before. He's a Texas native who grew up in Missouri. The search criteria were said to include finding someone with EAA DNA, and Hightower has restored his own steerman. But Poberesny stressed that while EAA is about people and passion, quote, this is a business, unquote. And Hightower brings a resume that includes more than 25 years in business at levels ranging from local to international and companies up to $470 million in annual revenue. Look for more details in the text version of this story, dated July 26th, at aero-news.net. We'll learn more over this week and hopefully be able to bring you some one-on-one comments from the new president. Tom Poberesny will remain as chairman of EAA and chairman of AirVenture. The North 40 at Oshkosh is normally filled with aircraft by now, but unfortunately it was still filled with water yesterday. Lots of pilots who'd planned to fly into Oshkosh for AirVenture had to divert elsewhere, which means that Fond du Lac and most other small airports in a three-state area have unexpected visitors and great fuel sales. EAA Media Relations Director Dick Nepinski told us yesterday that the response from airports throughout the region has been gracious. Driving into Oshkosh, it looks odd to see parking lots for an old Walmart, a former Kmart store, and even a Kia dealer being used as overflow for campers flooded out of Scholar. But EAA has lined up hard surfaces wherever possible for the heavy recreational vehicles and sent volunteers to remain at the overflow sites to disseminate updates and answer questions. Tom Poberesny said in his opening remarks at noon yesterday that in his 35 years as chairman of AirVenture, this one will go down as the most challenging. He also predicted it will be remembered as one of the best for providing a demonstration of just how passionate we all are about aviation. Tom is definitely in the glass half-full category on that one. If you're trying to decide whether or not to attend, catch the Aero News special feature today. We'll have Dick Nepinski's status update from yesterday, and maybe that'll help you decide. Piper Aircraft had a couple of interesting announcements yesterday at AirVenture. Among them, Piper Match is a new program to assist prospective customers who are looking for partners to make ownership pencil out. I know, go ahead, go for the easy jokes about looking for partners online. The folks here at Piper were doing it during their own press conference. You can find out more right on the front page at piper.com. The company also announced its distributor network for the Piper Sport LSA is starting to take shape. Piper Sport Distribution, Incorporated, reports agreements with reps in seven states and in Germany, Poland, New Zealand, and Australia. Piper Sport product manager Russ Greenberg told us yesterday, quote, Piper Sport Distribution already covers nearly half the United States, including highly populated regions, much of the European Union, and large parts of the Australian continent. Coupled with our heavy marketing penetration in the Asia-Pacific region, we have begun to blanket the world, unquote. Up next on ANN, Bose replaces the Aviation Headset 10 in its lineup. The Garmin 696 gets geo-referenced charts. And even low-end avionics are growing rapidly in power. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by 4Flight, makers of 4Flight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about 4Flight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD Nexrad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.4flight.com. 4Flight, intelligent apps for pilots.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 27th. I'm Paul Plack. If you've been saving your loose change in a jar for the day you could finally spring for the Bose Aviation Headset 10, keep the jar going, but you won't be buying a 10. The product has been discontinued effective immediately, and the replacement is the Bose Aviation Headset A20. And you're going to like it. At least we did. The active noise reduction headset marketplace has been getting more crowded, with less expensive products, which have specs that look like they don't fall too far short of the Bose. The A20 raises that bar, providing a meaningful improvement in noise reduction, which was demonstrated in a theater built by the company here at Oshkosh to introduce the new product to the media. We got to A/B test the 10 and the 20 while the room was filled with amplified aircraft cabin noise, and the difference is impressive. The A20 also offers an aux input jack on the cord-mounted control module, a switch to select whether your comm radio will mute or mix with the aux audio, and an optional Bluetooth interface for use with your mobile phone. Two AA batteries are said to last 45 hours. The price is about $1,000 US, or $1,100 with Bluetooth. Find out more at Bose.com. And yes, the 10 will still be fully supported, although its value on eBay probably has dropped. Garmin introduced new and enhanced chart capabilities for the GPS Map 695 and 696 yesterday at AirVenture. Big G's top-of-the-line aviation portable will soon include geo-referenced Garmin flight charts, and customers can now subscribe to and receive Garmin's geo-referenced chart view powered by Jeppesen. Gary Kelly, Garmin's vice president of marketing, said the new capabilities were specifically requested by customers. Quote, "The 696 has a large 7-inch portrait screen that's ideal for viewing an entire approach plate. Now, pilots will be able to see their aircraft's exact position while monitoring other important information on the approach charts," unquote. Garmin can show and tell you more here at Oshkosh. Some small companies are bringing almost unbelievable sophistication to the panels of experimental and light sport aircraft at prices a small fraction of similarly capable big-name avionics in the certificated world. A breakthrough being introduced at AirVenture mates EFIS products from Advanced Flight Systems, GRT Avionics, and MGL Avionics with Vertical Power's electronic circuit breaker system to put power, system monitoring, and control right on the screen. Dual buses are configurable to allow arranging the redundancy the way you want. Like old-fashioned thermal circuit breakers, ECBs, or electronic circuit breakers, protect against shorts and overcurrent conditions, but they can also report back on which one has occurred, and also alert the status display to open circuits, which thermal breakers or fuses cannot do. ECBs also hold the promise of allowing builders to do interesting new things with automated responses to fault conditions. We could soon be seeing home builders putting systems together that do more to help the pilot than the systems in airliners or biz jets. Vertical Power's VPX system is available in 20 and 30 circuit versions. They're called Sport and Pro and priced at $1,200 and $1,800 respectively. Get the details at verticalpower.com. Still ahead, this DC-7 is no hangar queen. Extra will build aircraft in Colorado. And helping Ray Bradbury celebrate the Big 9-0. You're listening to Aero News.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-35
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 27th. I'm Paul Plack. We see lots of interesting antique aircraft at Oshkosh every year, but many don't fly much anymore. There is one DC-7 here, though, with Fly Eastern Airlines painted on the side, and pilot Brian West says it's the last operating passenger configuration DC-7B in the world. It's operated by Florida Air Transport, which also operates another DC-7, a DC-6, DC-4, and a DC-3. The vintage planes recently spent 2 months providing relief efforts in Haiti. Find more details on this and other unique planes on AeroShell Square in the text version of the story, dated July 26th, at aero-news.net. Extra Aircraft announced Friday that Colorado's Montrose Regional Airport will be the home of its new U.S. headquarters and production center. Ken Keith, owner and CEO of Extra Aircraft, was joined by a group of government and airport officials, executives from Rolls-Royce, and Extra Aircraft customers for the ribbon-cutting event. Keith said that construction of the 40,000-square-foot facility will begin soon, and that the airport will provide temporary facilities for extra operations. Current plans call for Phase 1 of the facility to be operational by late this fall. And finally today, this isn't exactly news, it's kind of a note for the near future. Ray Bradbury turns 90 on August 22nd, and you're invited to help him celebrate by sending him a personal birthday message. The Planetary Society is collecting birthday greetings on its website from well-wishers around the world to make a giant card. Bradbury's extraordinary body of work includes The Martian Chronicles, Fahrenheit 451, and a vast collection of stories, poems, and plays. Many space scientists and engineers cite Bradbury's imaginative journeys to other worlds as a source of inspiration to them to pursue careers in planetary exploration. One of those well-wishers writes, quote, "I first read your books as a teenage bride in Africa, under the light of a tilly lamp with bugs and mosquitoes buzzing round me. Never forgotten," unquote. Reading Bradbury by the light of a camp light with mosquitoes buzzing around. Sounds like she could be in soggy Camp Scholar this week. The Planetary Society is coordinating the birthday wishes. Send yours by visiting planetary.org, looking under What's New on the left, and you'll find the link. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, hear Dick Napinski's detailed briefing on what EAA is doing to deal with record rains at Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.